Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday at this same time. And I've been ministering on Christ's gifts to His church. And we have been looking at a number of them, and I need to get moving so we can cover the seven that I wanted to share with you. But the third gift is that Jesus has given to us, those who believe, power over Satan and evil spirits. This is an authority that He has given as spoken in the Word. Jesus was actually speaking to His disciples, those who were present with Him, and He was showing and teaching them things. But the same power that He gave to them, He has given to His church, to us as believers. Remember Jesus, that great high priestly prayer He prayed. He said, He prayed for those who would believe on Him, on Jesus, through their ministry. And that means all of us, praise God. And so what He said in Luke 10:19, a familiar passage, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Do you know, that's what, if you've been listening to the broadcast this week, this is a classic example of how we have interpreted the Word of God according to our understanding and our opinion rather than what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because there are those who claim to be Christian in certain parts of the nation where they will handle snakes and serpents, because that is a demonstration of faith that this is what Jesus was saying there. Well, if you read, He's not asking us to be snake handlers. He's asking us to use the authority He has given, use that power He has given us. He's referring to serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. He's talking about demonic forces that would come against you and against the people of God, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Remember in Mark 16, "These signs shall follow them that believe. They'll speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them." Not that you make a point of doing that, but accidentally, if something should be ingested, poisonous by drink, by food, nothing will happen. Remember Paul, when he was shipwrecked, when they came to the island of Malta, every single person survived, and they were building a fire because they were chilled, and a serpent jumped out and bit Paul on the hand, and they were just waiting him to swell up and die because it was a poisonous snake, and he didn't, and they were convinced he had to be a god. Well, because he didn't die. However, you see, God gives us, "Nothing shall by any means hurt you." God gives us protection when we are moving in His will. We have power over the attacks of Satan. That's, you know, what did I share yesterday? He's given us keys to the kingdom. What we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And through Jesus, we have the power over situations in this life. We can take authority over the work of the enemy. The Apostle Paul stated in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 26, "The Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "also helpeth our infirmities," places, times that we're weak. "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." We don't have the right words, but the Spirit itself, Holy Spirit, will pray for us, "maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." It's the highest. That's why praying in the Spirit, praying in your heavenly language, is so important and critical. And So he makes this statement in that very familiar, beloved passage, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So what do we see in this amazing passage? That the Holy Spirit, he knows what we really need. He knows the mind of Christ. He can pray for us because he will intercede for us according to the will of God. And even if whatever occurs may not be exactly what we were expecting or what we were wanting, he's praying according to the will of God. And that's why in verse 28, Paul says, we know, regardless of the outcome, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So even though our natural human understanding would be like, whoa, wait a minute, why is this happening? How can this be? God has a plan in it. And that's one of the most beautiful offerings of worship and praise we can give to the Lord. When we are shaken up, when we're getting things we didn't expect, when we're in the midst of turmoil, Lord, we trust you. Lord, I trust you. And that is that trust in God, that faith in God, regardless of what's going on, is such a beautiful expression to the heart of God. It shows our faith, our love, our trust in him. Now, let me read some pretty amazing passages. And to do that, we're going to go to the end of the book, Revelation. And I want to read chapter 2, verse 7. I love how Jesus speaks. He said, he that hath an ear, that applies today, beloved. Do you have an ear? Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I'm jumping now to verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I think that must be important, huh? Don't you think? To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. And in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And then verse 26, still in the second chapter of Revelation. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, woe, to him will I give power over the nations. Amazing, is that not? And then let's go on to the third chapter, looking at verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Praise God. Goodness. All right, let's go to verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Oh my goodness. If you just really consider what Jesus is saying here, my goodness. And then verse 21, same chapter, to him that overcometh will I grant, oh my goodness, to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And then listen to this. Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What did Paul say? We are more than overcomers through Jesus Christ. Beloved, I don't know if you might have heard these phrases over and over again, but when you really hear with spiritual ears, they're overwhelming. They're magnificent. They're more than we can grasp with our finite minds. Let's move on. There's another gift that Jesus wants to give to his church, to us, and that's an abundance of living water. Do you know water in the natural is an absolute source of life? Man, well, you might be able to last without food for 40 days, a little bit longer, but now without water, it's like 3 days, and that's pretty much it. Although it'd be supernatural if a person lasted much longer than that. However, I mean, that's just a general statement. But in John 4 and 14, the word of the Lord says, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." Obviously, that's just not natural water. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. What does that mean? Well, that water is referencing the Holy Spirit. That's one of the ways he's described in the Word of God. David said in Psalm 110:7, "He shall drink of the brook in the way, therefore shall he lift up the head." Hallelujah. Isaiah 12:3 says, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Hallelujah. Not just draw them out, but with joy. And that word draw, what does that denote? That references action. We have to do something, praise God. And then in John, the 7th chapter, verse 38, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Another translation puts it like this: "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water." Praise God. What a beautiful depiction of the Holy Spirit, not only indwelling us, but if we live in the Spirit, we need to walk in the Spirit. And those waters are going to touch every life that we encounter. We don't even have to be conscious or aware of it, but that spirit, the Spirit giving life waters of the Spirit of God, that's what brought me, hey, those Christians, they were really different. There was something about them. That's the Holy Spirit, beloved. Well, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. With the Lord's help, we're going to conclude this message next week. I pray that, or excuse me, not next week, tomorrow. And I pray that you'll be able to join me. If not, always feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org. Click on the broadcast. You can listen anytime at your convenience. But, you know, I just sense in the Spirit, there are some listening, and you've been listening for a little while, and God's just moving on you to jot down that contact information. All I can say is please obey the Holy Spirit. There are times I have regretted not following him, and beloved, let me just share with you, nothing is better than obedience. He's got a reason for it. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.